The waiter slides toward me a clear little glass layered with cream, chocolate, and coffee. Sip the layers, and you taste Torino. The bicchierin, dialect for small glass, has come to be synonymous with the many atmospheric cafes that are the city's lifeblood. Torino is flush with regal boulevards and piazzas ringed with these delicious haunts. I'm at the wood-paneled Café al Bicchierin, intimate with candles on tiny marble tables. In this very place, someone in 1763 first concocted the bicchierin, a wickedly sumptuous drink. I like a place that remembers a coffee drink invented 256 years ago. I've slipped into other historic cafes to sample their bicchierin or lemonade or cappuccino. Bliss. There's Café Torino under the Grand Arcades, where the great Cesare Pavese, who lived nearby, used to meet other writers. Café Mulassano, with a marble bar and bentwood chairs, said to have the best espresso in town. Baratti e Milano, more chocolate and confection-oriented than the others, but with an old-world air, and Café San Carlo, all gilt and columns and statues. In late afternoon, the cafes serve aperitivi. No surprise, Campari and vermouths such as Punt e Mess were all invented in Torino. Order a drink, and you're welcome to a lavish buffet of stuzzichini, crostini, olives, chips, focaccia, prosciutto, slices of omelette, and grissini, breadsticks, also invented in Torino. This interlude previews dinner, which is glorious to anticipate. Torino restaurants are up there with the best in Italy. Late morning, Ed and William, who've been out walking, meet me under the arcades at Café Torino. They are impressed by its bodacious chandeliers, smooth waitstaff, and medallion of a rampant bull inlaid in the flagstones outside the door. This is a perfect perch for watching the human parade. We order cappuccino, then tramezzini, the triangular half sandwiches made of trimmed soft white bread, the kind of air bread we usually scorn. These were invented in Torino, I tell them, at Café Mulassano. The weird poet D'Annunzio made up the name. Mine is ham and cheese. Tramezzo, a divider across the middle, Ed says. The ino or ini is the diminutive. Across the middle of the morning or across the corners of the bread? William asks. Who knows? It was easier to say than the popular English tea sandwich. Everything was invented in Torino? William concludes. Unlike panini, the tramezzini usually have mayonnaise. Almost all bars, train stations, and cafes serve a variety. Ed took to them right away, especially the tuna and olive for a mid-morning snack. Spread out on the table are books on Piemonte and the poems of Pavese. Never much of a cafe sitter, I could while away the morning like this. A well-dressed businessman grinds his foot over the balls of the gold bull. Not sure how that brings the good luck it's reputed to. We stroll along Via Garibaldi and Via Roma, checking out the designer shops. Oh no, William is attracted to Louis Vuitton belts. Torino has 18 kilometers of covered walkways, a reminder that inclement weather can pour in from the Alps. The chic shops are punctuated by more appealing cafes in glass-roofed Galleria San Federico, where we happen upon Cinema Lux, an Art Nouveau theater. In smaller streets, we find Libreria Internazionale Luxembourg, a vintage British bookstore, and a cool contemporary cafe and art space. Where are the tourists, we wonder? They're all in Florence. We came to Torino last summer with William and loved every minute of the 4 days we spent blessedly free from mobs. We all agreed we needed more time here. As we begin a trip into Piemonte, we decided to light here again. What a fantastic place to bring a child or young adult. Highlights from our first visit. We took a taxi out to the Museo Nazionale dell'Automobile. Even if you're not a car fan, you have to swoon at the design genius on display. The emphasis is on vintage Fiat, Lancia, and Alfa Romeo, though there are Bugattis, Ferraris, and others. A longtime Alfista, one who adores Alfas, Ed examined each. Italy. The Italian food emporium near the car museum. We walked there from the car museum to have lunch and to look at the amazing range of olive oil, pasta, honey, jam, wine, and other products, all from this country. Museo Egizio. After Cairo, the largest Egyptian museum in the world. Torino began collecting in 1630 and now displays 6,500 items with another 26,000 in storage. The museum is located right in the centro. Museo Nazionale del Cinema in the Mole Antonelliana, where on the ground floor you can watch movie clips in lounge chairs with headphones. You spiral up to three floors of changing displays. Many are interactive, demonstrating the history of photography and film. It's a lively tour. The glass-walled elevator takes you to the tower for a view over Torino and the Alps in the distance. I didn't go. It looked claustrophobic and harrowing. Ed and William did, and they reported it was claustrophobic and harrowing. Via Po. Stroll along this grand boulevard lined with palazzi and arrive at the Po River. The rarefied French influence of the House of Savoy, which ruled Italy from 1861 to 1946, is everywhere in Torino. A gaily lit string of cafes beckons as evening falls. A moment to time travel to 19th century Paris.